Good morning, ladies. So despite being a little bit nervous about speaking in public, I did feel called to share my story today for three reasons. One, as an update for those who have been praying. Two, to share my experience so others who are struggling know that they're not alone. And to remind myself and others that our God is so good. There's a lot that's happened in the last 5 years of my life, and while I could have easily spoken for hours, I'll jump right in and stick to the main points to stay in 20 minutes. So about 5 years ago, April of 2020, I was pregnant with our oldest daughter, Evelyn. After 9 long months of throwing up, I was about 2 weeks away from finally giving birth when that first COVID lockdown arrived. I'm sure you all remember how uncertain everything was. What is safe, what isn't safe? Is a home birth safer than a hospital birth? Will my husband, Jarrett, be allowed in the hospital when I deliver? A lot of uncertainty. In the end, we did have a hospital birth, Jarrett was present, and all went well. We went home and didn't leave for months. It was a difficult time to have your first baby. Normally, you have friends and family around to help with some of those first moments and give guidance, but we were alone on lockdown. Visits occurred in a cold April with some people standing in the snow and peering through the window to look at us, but that was it. I quickly developed postpartum depression, and we later learned postpartum OCD. The depression grew worse and worse. I was put on medication, but that can only do so much. Normally, a mother would go to therapy or join some group programs specifically to help mothers with PPD, but everything was canceled because of COVID. Jarrett and I didn't know what to do. He was amazing through it all, and he did his best to support me, but I can't imagine how hard it was for him to watch his wife slowly disappear. If you've ever suffered from depression, you know well that oppressive darkness that surrounds you. You can't see or feel anything past it. It's a heavy weight that feels like it will never end and life will never be happy again. The darkest day came when I was taking Evelyn for a walk alone for the first time. I was walking alongside Shannon Road, watching the cars coming towards me, and I thought, what if I just stepped in front of one? I saw a family outside a house, and I thought, I could give them Evelyn, they would bring her home to Jarrett, and I could just die. Satan was whispering in my ear that Jarrett and Evelyn would be better off with a happy mom, a better mom. And I loved them so much that I wanted better for them than who I felt that I was. I was tired of struggling through each day, and I felt like it would never get better. I knew peace with God was waiting, and all this hurt could go away if I put my burdens down and ended my life. I immediately shut down those thoughts, and I told myself to just get home. Get home and talk to Jarrett. You're not safe. So I got home, I told Jarrett everything that happened, and I cradled my little baby in my arms, and Jarrett held me, and he spoke of Paul in Philippians. Jarrett gently pointed me to the truth that this life is not what God had originally planned for us. This world is broken, life is difficult, and it's normal to want to be with God now. My burden was heavy, too heavy to bear on my own, which is why God has compassion and helps us carry our burdens. We prayed together, and things did not immediately get better. Life doesn't work like that. Depression doesn't work like that. But I knew I wasn't alone, and that others, even strong believers, had shared these feelings. It helped. I continued to cry out to God in my depression, and around that time, a friend dropped off a meal with one of those little verse cards. It had Psalm 16:11, "In your presence is fullness of joy." Reading that psalm was reassuring to me that although I couldn't feel God in my heart, he is every good thing. I could rest my burdens on him. And I knew in my head he was walking with me, and I clung to his promises. Slowly but surely, things did get better. I would have a good day, and then 2 good days, and then eventually, they were all back to being just good days. COVID lockdowns eased, life slowly returned to normal. I felt like me again, and I was thankful and happy to be back. Jarrett and I had made it through those dark days together with God, and our relationship was so much stronger. As time went on, we began to think about having another baby, but we were both worried about a repeat of PPD, so we did some book research, spoke to our doctor and a midwife, and everyone was on the same page. There's no COVID lockdown, it's your second baby, you know the signs to look for, and you can get better help sooner if you need it. After a few more months of prayer and consideration, we did get pregnant a second time, and it was a vastly different experience than the first pregnancy. While I was slightly nauseous for the first trimester, I didn't throw up once, and I thought, wow, this is amazing. I can do this forever. Evelyn and I went for long walks in the sunshine. We played at the park. I joined a women's Bible study for the summer. And then one day, about halfway through my pregnancy, I noticed I was having a hard time catching my breath. But feeling awful while pregnant was pretty normal to me, so I blamed the humidity and ignored it. But I couldn't shake this nagging voice that kept telling me to go to the doctor, which I hate doing over small issues. But finally, I mentioned it to Jarrett, and he said, yeah, make an appointment. If everything's fine, it'll take them 5 minutes, and you're not wasting their time. So I made an appointment for the following day. I went to Bible study in the morning, and we talked about suffering in life. Jen Jonusitis said something that really stuck with me. God is sufficient. No matter what we face, even up to death, God is sufficient. He is enough. His redemption is everything. Through all of the trials, all of the suffering that God told us we will experience, God is sufficient to meet us in this dark life and redeem us to Him in glory. With this powerful message in my mind, I headed off to my 5-minute You're Fine appointment. Spoiler alert, I was not fine. After walking through the parking lot and down a flight of stairs, I was really out of breath. When I was called in to see the doctor, I was still breathing quite heavily. My doctor took one look at me and she said, "You are not okay." She had me do some deep breaths to listen to my lungs, and it made me so dizzy I had to lie down, and even several minutes later, I still couldn't catch my breath. She called an ambulance and had my husband meet me at the ER. Once admitted, I had an x-ray that ruled out pneumonia, and then I was scheduled in the morning for a CT to look for blood clots. So I spent a night alone in the ER waiting for the news the morning would bring. As the doctors suspected, the scan showed several clots in the lower lobes of both of my lungs. I was referred to a hematologist and put on daily heparin injections to thin my blood and prevent more clots from forming. We were sent home where I could stay in bed, and given the prognosis that in about 2 weeks I should see some improvements and 4 to 6 weeks I would be back to normal. But if there were any problems, go back to Emerge so they could test my blood and make sure the thinners were working properly. I was at very high risk of developing more clots if it didn't work properly, and a clot in the wrong place is deadly. I was lucky to have lived through the clots moving through my heart and settling into my lungs. Any sign of any problems and immediate treatment is necessary. And although I had walked into the doctor's office on my own the day before, the blood clots had rapidly made breathing difficult, and I was on bed rest for 2 weeks until things improved. Now, after our last trial with PPD, Jarrett and I learned that you're not meant to go through trials alone. I messaged my Bible study group, and Jarrett spoke to Andrew Sarlow to ask for prayer. God worked through our church and met our needs. We had meals brought, and people would stop by to visit or play with Evelyn while Jarrett was working. Thankfully, at this point, Jarrett was still working from home, so he was able to be a caregiver to me and help watch Evelyn. It was a pretty delicate balance, but it was only for 2 weeks, so I was confident we could make it. As we passed the 2-week mark, I had gone to Emerge several times, often by ambulance. It didn't take very much for me to get extremely dizzy and out of breath. At Emerge, they would test my blood, say the thinners were working, this is still in the realm of normal, and send me back home with instructions to return with any episode. I continued to decline, and I started needing help even getting to the bathroom. Jarrett would half carry me there and back, and it would take me an hour to catch my breath. After Emerge visits, I would be so tired that he would have to help give me a bath because my arms were too tired to wash my hair. I knew when I married him that he might have to bathe me someday, and I did not expect that to happen in my 20s. It's very humbling. Our church family continued to support us beyond anything we could have asked for. We had meals brought by so many people, sometimes we didn't even know their names. We were surrounded by prayer, love, and support. Kathy Raddatz taught Jarrett how to give me my daily injections. Sandy Norris came with Jarrett came with the ambulance to support Jarrett as I was brought to the hospital in a particularly bad episode. Jen Johnusitis came and cleaned our home. Candy Harding prayed over me. Bethany Shantz played with Evelyn at the park. Michelle Lawrence babysat. Jeff Johnusitis checked on me at church one Sunday. Phone calls, cards, and prayers were sent our way. I don't have enough time today to name every person who prayed for us, cared for my family, and loved us, but know that it meant everything. Our church really is the hand of God. I got to witness it, and it was beautiful. 8 weeks after my diagnosis, when I was supposed to be fully recovered, I had declined to the point where even laying in bed, I struggled to breathe. My body felt weighed down, and it was hard to move. Jarrett and I became very in tune with each other, and we developed a kind of sign language for when I couldn't talk. He could tell when I would need a sip of water or to move my body into a better breathing position. We were getting pretty scared. How long could I carry on like this? As the baby grew and the demands on my body increased, we knew that this would only get worse. What would happen to me when it came time to deliver our child? We began to wonder if I would even make it. I was counting the weeks left in my pregnancy, wondering how long I could hold on to give her the best chance of survival, and we worried that I would be leaving Jarrett as a single father of two. We cried together, we prayed together, and we knew that no matter what, God is good, and he is walking with us through this trial. Eventually, I had an appointment with my high-risk OB who came in from Sudbury every couple of months. When he saw the shape I was in, he was very concerned and said I should go home and pack my bags for Toronto because I'd be flying out by air ambulance tomorrow to go to Mount Sinai for the remainder of my pregnancy. We went home, and after a confusing few days, there was some back and forth between Mount Sinai and Sioux Area Hospital. Mount Sinai wanted me there now. Sioux Area Hospital didn't want to send me because I wasn't technically their patient. But finally, I was admitted to the hospital here to do some tests ordered by the OBs in Mount Sinai. I did a walking test to check my heart rate, and when I went from laying in bed to walking less than 10 steps, my heart rate skyrocketed from 80s to 150. They caught me before I passed out, lay me back down, and my heart rate slowly returned to normal. I was diagnosed with dysautonomia, specifically POTS, which stands for Postural Orthostatic Tachycardia Syndrome. Dysautonomia is when the automatic functions of your body don't function as they should when you're standing in an upright position or you're sitting up in an upright position. So your heart rate, your temperature, your blood pressure aren't functioning properly. POTS is specifically your heart rate increasing dramatically when you stand. So while the blood thinners were working and I hadn't developed any more clots, my heart was reacting inappropriately whenever I stood up. I was put on a beta blocker that night, which controlled my heart rate, and in the morning, when Jarrett came to the hospital, I could walk down the hallway all by myself. I can't express to you how amazing it was to be able to speak, move, and breathe without struggle. It felt like a miracle straight out of the Bible. Stand up and walk. POTS is relatively rare, so to have the right doctor who knew the signs to look for and the right medicine to give was truly an answer to prayers. I was given the green light from Mount Sinai to stay home for the rest of my pregnancy and travel to and from Toronto for my appointments. I was due Christmas Day, but our doctor decided to induce me early to control the blood thinners and monitor my heart during delivery. It was still a difficult pregnancy and a very high-risk delivery, so we had to stay in Toronto for a few weeks. Then on December 14th, with many people praying for us, I safely delivered our beloved daughter, Fiona. To honor the immeasurable support we had during our pregnancy, we gave her a second middle name, Socorro, which means to give or receive aid in times of great need. The doctor said after delivery, the risk of blood clots would be gone, and in a few weeks, my heart rate should go back to normal. We went home and spent Christmas as a family, all four of us. We made it. Now, if this were a book, this would be a great place to stop. Challenges have been faced and overcome, lessons have been learned, and it seems only fair that things get better. But this is not a book. This is a broken world, and God told us we will face trials, plural. And 4 months after Fiona's birth, I caught a bad flu virus. After I recovered, I noticed some familiar symptoms of breathlessness and muscle weakness. I went back to my doctor, and they restarted the beta blocker to control my heart rate. but I kept getting worse. And after I passed out in the grocery store, we had to dig deeper to find out why. After I have a bad episode like passing out, I enter into a flare-up where symptoms get worse. So I was back in a wheelchair when we went to the doctor's office. She decided to do a standing test where they monitor my heart rate and blood pressure as I change from a sitting to standing position. The goal was to stand for 5 minutes and see how my body reacted. At 3 minutes, I started to pass out and we had to stop the test. The results were that my heart rate was inappropriately normal. It stayed in the 80s, even though it should have gone higher when my body was in distress, while my blood pressure plummeted. The dysautonomia was back, triggered by the flu. So instead of POTS affecting my heart rate, I now have orthostatic hypotension, low blood pressure when upright. There's no cure. There's only working very slowly to build your body back up to being able to tolerate standing, then moving while standing, then trying to live a normal life. So there I was with two very small children, and I could stand for 3 minutes. I felt like I had already fought so hard, and God had given me the gift of life and motherhood, and then he took away my ability to be a mother. I couldn't breastfeed because of the medications. I couldn't hold Fiona for very long because she was too heavy for me. Even just having her laying on my chest was too much because I couldn't breathe. I couldn't bring them to the park, play dates, make their food, or wipe their little faces. I could only read a story for a short time before I ran out of strength. People rallied again and helped care for our children, and I was so grateful, but it was so hard. I felt useless. I had to sit and watch other people live my life for me. Other people cared for my children, cooked my meals, cleaned my house. It felt like I'd been erased, and I was a ghost watching the hole I left slowly fill in. As life kept going, my kids kept growing, and I couldn't participate. One year into recovery, I could be on my feet for an hour or maybe two before I had to rest. 2 years into recovery, I could do a very simple activity in the morning and then maybe one in the afternoon with a lot of rest in between. I've worked diligently to slowly build my body back up to tolerate a somewhat normal lifestyle, but life with chronic illness is still a delicate balance. If I catch a bad virus or spend too much time in the heat or push myself too hard in any way, I can enter a flare and lose a lot of progress. 1 month, I may be doing really well, and then I catch a cold, and it takes months to get back to that point. I need to be very careful how I spend my time and energy so I don't enter another flare-up of symptoms. Evelyn's in school, and Fiona's in daycare, so I can take care of my body and our home during the day, and I can play with them in the evenings. But I struggle with guilt and sadness that I'm a stay-at-home mom who can't physically look after her own kids all day. This is absolutely not the motherhood I had envisioned for myself. This is not the life that I thought to have. It feels broken and difficult, and it would be so easy to despair. Haven't I been through enough? Don't I deserve some rest? But when I look again, not from my worldly perspective, but from a biblical perspective, I see that God designed a perfect world, but Adam and Eve sinned. Sin entered, and death and darkness came to plague us. Sin broke the world, and because of that, we now face hardships and trouble in this life. Abuse, pollution, drug addictions, lying, cheating, war, poverty, on and on it goes. We keep sinning, we keep hurting ourselves and others, and God weeps because this is not what he wants for us. But God does not leave us to despair. In his great love, he made a way for us to spend an eternity in his perfection. He sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for the sins of this world, and if we accept his offering, we're welcomed in his presence. God doesn't wait to start the redemption process. He can already use our struggles for his glory, and I'm thankful for the things I've learned through these trials. Jarrett and I got to experience for a short time what depression and OCD looks like, and we now have a greater compassion for those struggling with mental illness. We know what it's like to lie awake all night, fearing the news a doctor will bring. I now understand the duality often expressed by King David in the Psalms, glorifying how amazing our God is and how he can do anything, while also feeling daunted by the darkness that we face. I know that God cares deeply for me, and he walks with me every day through life. He cares so much, he's given me a chance to spend an eternity in his presence where there's no brokenness. He made a way so that one day I will rise up on wings like the eagles. I will run and not grow weary. I will walk and not faint. So yeah, I've had some trials, but at the end, all I can do is offer up a simple prayer of gratitude. Thank you, Jesus, for your goodness, for your mercy over us who are not worthy of your love. Thank you for your compassion and care as you walk beside us through the journey of life, and for preparing a place for us to spend an eternity with you. Amen.